infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So in this edition of Into the Fray, I am speaking with Mary and Clark, and they live in Washington State. And they have lived on the same property for over 30 years, and it's 5 acres. We are not going to be giving out any landmarks, any city, even county, eastern, western. You guys can guess. That's up to you. But we are going to be talking about a couple of very interesting incidents that actually happened back in 2020. And Mary got in touch with me. And Mary, I think that in the email, if I recall, you emailed me, I think, the very day after one of these incidents, and they were a month apart. And then I just came, as we were talking about in the beginning, I just came across your email, a week ago. And you had actually done your due diligence and reached out right after this happened in 2020. So, good on you. Apologies on my part, but here we are finally talking about this stuff. And before we get to the incidents, though, I would like to paint a picture of just the area, you know, your neighbor situation, and then, of course, what you guys have going on across from your property across the road, I think does, in fact, play a large part in this. So let's set that up first, and we will go from there. And welcome on the show, guys.
So we bought the property more than 30 years ago. And when we moved in, there was a dairy farm across the street. Now our front door faces north, and the street that's just right outside our door runs east and west. The dairy farm went bankrupt, and the county came in and they bought the 40-acre parcel of the dairy farm. And then a little while later, there was another 40-acre parcel right next to the dairy farm. When that family owned the parcel, they ran cows on their land. But eventually the family died off and the county bought that 40-acre spread. So right across the street, basically, is the 80-acre, we call part, but 40 acres to the east of us is a family part, and then the 40 acres right across the street from us is the conservation area. It's open public land, and we take our dogs over there, and we hike up a hill. There's a hill that we have to traverse up. It's not that bad, but sometimes it's hard during the summer. And then you go back into the woods, and then there are trails back in the woods, and you can get from one side of the park to the other. And then also, when you're facing north, to the west of us that butts up right next to our property is a 10-acre property, open field. And then beyond him is a street that runs north and south, and at the corner of this street is a street light. And so when it's dark out, you can see that there's not a lot of illumination going on around our house, because there's not a lot of housing. There's a house further to the west across the street that runs north and south that has a porch light, but still, again, there's not a lot going on out there. It's pretty dark. We do have a light in our driveway, a kind of security light that comes on at dark and stays on all night, but that's it. I want to just talk to you a little bit about the coyotes, because it's in relation to the night in question that when this happened. the coyotes during the summertime, we see them alone. And in the fall is when they kind of get together as a pack, as a family. And we know what they sound like because they like to come through at nighttime and they just go, yip, 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 yip. And you can hear it all through the woods and throughout other people's properties as they're passing through. And like I said, when this happened, we told a very good friend who we knew could handle the information and some family members. Some family members have pushed back. Some have found it interesting. But when it happened in 2020, I did right away get a hold of, or wrote it down right away and tried to document what happened as best as possible. And one thing I need to go over here is our sleeping habits, Clark and mine sleeping habits. Clark is a night owl. He doesn't go to bed until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm the early bird. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. And so that night that it happened, our bedroom is on the east side of the house. So our front door looks north and our bedroom is on the east side of the house. And I think the night that we are talking about, Clark came to bed maybe at 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember.
It was about one. Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning. But I think, and it was a very warm night, and we live in a ranch style house and the windows were open just to try to get that cross breeze going. And then about 2 o'clock, we heard this howl.
Yeah, I would like to add to that. It was a full moon that night. So despite the fact that, you know, Mary said we don't have a lot of lights around here, when you get a full moon and it was cloudless night, you could see your shadow. It's really neat to go out at night. I enjoy doing that sometimes. And you can see a shadow from the moonlight. It's so bright. So as Mary said, I came to bed around 1 o'clock, not quite asleep. It was probably before two. Unlike the normal yipping of the coyotes, we hear a distinctive single howl. It was different from a coyote. And we thought that was interesting at first. I think Mary heard it as well, or I woke her up afterwards, because after a minute or so, we heard it again and it was closer. We finally ascertained that it was kind of coming down the street in a way. After the second, maybe third time of it getting closer, I opted to get a shotgun and I went outside to the east side of the house.
Now, can I?
Oh, sure.
I just want to clarify, I stayed in bed because I told myself it's a coyote. I still needed a couple more hours of sleep before I got up and got ready for work. And so I didn't go out of the house at all. I just stayed in bed and went back to sleep. So now I'll turn it back over to Clark.
I'm going out to the east side of our house, expecting to maybe see a little something or maybe hear something again. I did hear this howl, and this time the howl was to the west of the house, so it had passed somehow. When I heard the howl, I then followed. We have some outbuildings. I was kind of going, using the outbuildings as cover type thing to see exactly what was going on. I then go to the end of our property, the west side, and I'm standing in our U-drive. I can see, I'm looking to the west. The field that Mary was telling you about, it's 10 acres, he hays it. So it was probably early July, I'm trying to think. It was before it was hayed. And so the grass is roughly 5 feet, 4 to 5 feet high. And I'm looking to the west. I'm actually holding my hand up to cut the glare from the moon because it was that bright. And I will to this day swear on a stack of Bibles, I saw what I thought was a humanoid, just, I don't want to say necessarily a shadow figure, but somebody stood up and they were about my height. I'm 5'10". So we're talking maybe 6-7 feet, because this person was, or thing was, probably 30 to 40 feet to the west of me. So it was right there. It stood up. I looked at it, and I'm not sure what it is. I'm trying to run through my mind what could stand up on two legs or whatever. After what seemed an eternity, it was probably just a second or two, it slowly goes down into the grass, so I can't see it anymore. I'm a little freaked out, but I have the shotgun, go to the street, and I head westbound, hopefully getting to be roughly where it was in the field. I was just getting hair standing up on my arms. I felt this is not the place to be. I don't need to be here. So I retreated back to my driveway. And for good measure, I just did a shotgun blast into the ground. If anything, it makes me feel good sometimes. So there's that noise. Never did I see anything run. Never did I hear anything run through the grass. I did hear it, I should say, prior to it standing up. I did hear some rustling of the grass, but I didn't hear anything of an exit. I see nothing. There's nothing. And I said, oh, screw this. I'm going to bed. I went in at that point. Later that, early the next morning, I should say, we both come out.
Let me interrupt you here. So during the summer, I have a small farm business going on. And so I get up really early. I go out and I get either my orders ready for my customers, or I just simply do farm work before I come in and I get ready for work. And so I came in the back door. I'm in the kitchen getting my stuff ready, lunch ready for work. And I come around the corner into our living room. And Clark, who's never with me because he's the late sleeper, was sitting in his chair. And I think he started out by saying, you're not going to believe me when I say this. And Clark's a joker, and he likes to come have a little sarcasm in his conversations. And I thought, okay, well, what's the punchline? You know, I'm waiting to laugh at something he was going to say. And I think there was a little bit of a vulnerability in your the way you were speaking to me, like you weren't believing what you saw. And yet you said, this is right up your alley. And so you told me the story. I hurried up, rushed, and we went out to where we saw the entrance into the field. I don't believe I took pictures then, but I had to go to work, and then you went on your day. But when I got home that night, we went and I took pictures to where the path was into the open field, and where we felt where that
shadow
figure entity was. Mm-hmm. And we found a path in, but we never found a path out. And so then, I documented it, wrote it all down. And then after a couple weeks, you kind of think, you start doubting yourself. Well, maybe that's not what happened. Maybe it was a bear, but there's no bears where we live. Maybe it was this, maybe it was this, that. And then you just start having doubts about what happened. So then we flow into the second story. And again, this happened to Clark. I was in bed.
As Mary said, yes, I'm a late owl. I sometimes will go out and check the property every now and then. I like to take care of my chickens late at night. I went out again. This was roughly like 1 a.m. I go out our back door. I look to the north down our driveway. And as Mary mentioned earlier, the 40-acre parcel across the street from us is kind of conservation open field for the county. So there is a gate that they put in to keep people out ever since the dairy went out of business. And of all the structures have been removed from the dairy. It was just plane, basically field and all that sort of thing. I look to the north, and again, it was a very bright night. Whether it was exactly full or not, I can't tell you. But again, you have that very kind of subdued moonlight. And I notice somebody standing right on the north side of the gate, so in the closed section. We have a few neighbors, but not a lot, and I didn't expect anybody at that time. I let out a, well, I'll be damned. I'll just say something really loud like that, not expecting to see anybody. And when I said that, this shadow, this silhouette that I saw, stepped back north, heading north, stepped back into the shadows where I couldn't see it anymore. I didn't have a flashlight at the time. I ran in, grabbed a flashlight, came running out again, and there was nothing. So I can't explain that one. I will say of the two, quote, entity stories, the first one in the grass field is the one I think is the bread and butter. That's the one that really sent, and as Mary mentioned earlier, I'm not necessarily a 100% believer. I have to see these things. That one I saw, that one I can't explain. Yeah.
So on the second one, Shannon, I tried to get a little bit more detail out of it, but when you see something that's not where you where it should be, there's a little bit of a denial or a shock going on. And I kept on asking Clark at the time, did you see leg movement? You know, did you see legs? And he couldn't remember if he saw legs walking backwards or anything like that. And so then that night after work, we went over there and I tried hard to find footprints where the person was standing, and I could not see any footprints whatsoever where that gate was, just rock, dirt, grass, but nothing was laid down. The grass wasn't, you know, stepped on, anything like that. So again, we don't know what to say.
And a little bit more to that second story, I should add on to the fact that when I had the flashlight and I came out and I couldn't see anything, I did go around to different parts of the property. And I sat and waited in the dark, just to wait and see if anything else would pop up, if anyone would come out, if it was a person, what are you doing here type thing. And I probably was out a good 45 minutes because I had moved from different, you know, behind a hedge here, behind an outbuilding. We have some grapes type thing. So I was just covering up and keeping an eye on that area to see if I saw anything else, and nothing ever appeared again. So that was the end of that.
Yeah, I love that you did that, by the way. You're like, okay, this is a, and let's mention the dates here, because the first incident was June of 2020, and then the second incident was in July of 2020. So yeah, at this point, Clark, you're kind of going, who in the world keeps peeking around and it's not cool? I mean, and as you say, you know, everybody out there is probably toting guns. Most people know better than to go traipsing around at night. And if that was a person, okay, let's start there. Cause I do have a lot of questions. So you guys are going to have to bear with me. Mary knows me well enough to know this was coming, but you probably don't, Clark. But the howl that you guys heard, did it sound a howl that a person could make? And have you come across any recordings that could be compared to it?
I would have to say no on the recordings per se. A person, no. I don't think it was a person. And I don't think it was not a coyote either.
It sounded like a wolf to me, Shannon.
A howl of a certain dog, maybe. But again, there are no dogs around here howling on a regular basis. And this was a singular one. So, no.
And the last howl was right next to our bedroom window. And that's when you said,
that's when I went out. Yeah. It was like, oh, whatever this thing is, it's out front. And that's when I went out. And it was then to the west of the house. But yeah, if I could I would have to say it was a howl that a sound I'd never heard before. I'm sure maybe there's some type of animal that could do it, but not one that I have been unfamiliar with or I've heard in the past.
As you say, Clark, that first experience was probably more of note to you, and I would happen to agree, yes. Especially since you had that feeling, like that primal feeling to get the heck out of here right now, Clark. Now, had you ever had that feeling on or around your property before?
Well, there's another story coming that Mary will fill you in, and I'll add some color to it, but yeah, generally not. No, I go out, like Mary said, I'll go out and check things out 1, 2, 3 in the morning. There's nobody around. It's really quiet. We don't have any cars no cars. I've always felt secure. I don't feel safe. I don't go running around with a gun all the time. The only time I brought a gun is that thing was, this is a weird sound. This is not, you know, if it is an animal, maybe it's injured, maybe it's going to do something. I don't know. But I did go out, like I said, with my shotgun. Normally, I don't. I don't have it at all.
Yeah. And after the second incident, I started feeling like, well, are we being stalked? Because there are a few more stories that we're going to talk to you about. But I started thinking, well, there's something stalking us. And why are they stalking us? And we don't live a lifestyle that brings this kind of activity onto us. You had a gal on 6 months ago who said, I never play with the Ouija boards. I don't watch horror shows. I don't read horror books because that would let something in. And I agreed with her completely. And that's how I feel. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. And then by the second one, I just started thinking, what are we doing out here that would attract activity that we don't want? And I love listening to people's stories, but I certainly don't want to be a part of the story. I don't want to be an actor in one of these stories.
As much as I find a lot of these stories very interesting, as Mary said, I'm not as much a believer. I need to see it myself and hear it, feel it, whatever. This case I did. This time I did. That one, to this day, I can think about it. And I play it over in my mind. It's like it happened yesterday. It was bizarre.
Clark, I know that you said that pretty much in both cases that it or they, that's another question coming, but it or they was about 6 or 7 feet tall. But what kind of build did it have?
You know, seeing it, it was like looking at a shadow and trying to tell the build based on a shadow. I don't think I could tell you. The only thing I could tell in both cases is that they were, in my opinion, humanoid, in that it isn't like a dog standing up with his paws in the air. I am pretty sure I saw some, you know, what could have been arms, but you just see this shadowy thing stand up, or in the case across the street, standing there and then slowly going backwards until the shadow itself was in the shadows and then it disappeared. The one in the grass, again, there was nothing around it to give it extra shadow other than it going down into the day. The next day we looked, there was kind of this area that was probably, what, maybe 6 foot by 6 foot.
It was pretty big, actually.
It was a good size of just tamped down grass. Again, the trail leading in, tamped down grass where I saw this thing kind of stand up and go down, but no exit.
And also that night, Clark had said that the moon was very bright, so bright that he put his arm up to block the moon because he was kind of blinded by the moon. There was just so much illumination coming from it.
And so the moon was probably to the west and up high, but it was up high. So when I'm looking to the west, I had put my hand up to block that moonlight, like Mary was saying, coming directly into my eyes. And then I saw this thing come up. So if that were the case, the moon would have to be way behind this, whatever it was, to create a shadow. But I wasn't looking. It wasn't on the horizon. It was up in the air. The moon was up high on the horizon. And again, so stature, I'm sorry, I can't tell you other than looking and saying, okay, I'm 6 foot. That's at least my height, if not a little bit more, because again, the grass is a good four. Some of the buds are up to 5 feet high, and it stood above that. So 6+ feet.
Now, the question that I said was going to follow up would be, and you may have pretty much already answered it, and you may not be able to tell me definitively, and that's okay. But do you think this was the same entity being slash creature, or do you think it was two different ones?
I'm going to say, gosh, I don't know if I have an answer on that. Part of me wants to say it's two different, because if by chance there was a person, which I never did see, behind the gate, and then they disappeared, that's one thing. I don't have a answer in this world on what came up and then went back down in the grass field. So that is definitely distinctive. Could it have been the same sort of thing? I guess it could have been, in which case they're the same entity type thing, that the thing I saw across the street was not a person. Part of me wants to say it's that it has to be a person. I keep going logically to say that. However, no logic I can think of can explain the one coming out of the grass field. Does that make sense?
It does.
It could be the same, but don't know for sure.
No, it does. Thank you, Clark. I appreciate you bearing with all my questions here. Not over quite yet, though. sorry, guys. You're like, oh, boy, what do we get ourselves into? So there was a dairy farm across the street which closed. How long ago was that?
That had closed at least a good solid, 10 years prior to these events, 8 to 10 years prior.
Yes. The county had the property for quite some time.
Right.
When they rented it out, but right. Then they finally did the parks, probably in 2000, maybe the parks came in 2000.
And at that time, they came in and all the buildings, the milking barn, the house, all of these things were removed or destroyed, taken out. But it's been a good 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, at least.
More than 10. 15 years.
So, and this will come up to something that I find interesting about the timing, but before COVID, how much these are known humans that you know are going either in and out of, you know, I don't know if that's a back gate or if they ever use that gate there for the conservation land, but how much quote unquote human activity that you guys are aware of prior to COVID was going on that conservation land?
Well, I would have to say it depends maybe on the time of day, because as Mary mentioned, sometimes people come over and they bring their dogs. We walk our dogs over across. There is another park Mary didn't mention. This is, I don't know how many acres this is. This is more than 160. It's an equestrian park where people will ride horses. And sometimes there's some horses that people will ride into the field across the street from us. So there are occasionally we will see people riding horses, people walking dogs, just people walking. At night, nothing.
Yeah, and also the county will come in with their water trucks during the summer to do the watering on the plants that they have going all year round.
To get a start,
So, but it's not a very... It's kind of like a hidden secret around here. Only the neighbors know. The general public doesn't know about this open acreage that they can go on. But there's very limited parking. Only like one car can park across the street at the gate. during the summertime, we see a lot of county cars, vehicles coming in. And once in a while, we'll see whoever they have contracted out to cut the fields. But for the most part, we don't really see much human traffic across the street. It's more geared towards the park right next to it, which is the nice, well-maintained family park for whoever wants to show up there for the birthday parties, dog walkers, you know. Just, it's a lovely family park. But the one right across the street from us is not geared for people to really come over and do hiking. And when I go over there, I have to have my hiking boots on because it's very rough terrain to go through. And up in the woods until you get onto the trails, it's pretty rough. And also during the summer, sometimes they do cut it and sometimes they don't. But if they don't cut, then there are tick issues going on with the high grass. And so we kind of stay out of there during the summer.
Say maybe five. On a busy day, maybe we see five people, maybe nine.
Here's where my brain is kind of going this, you guys, and I could be totally wrong. But, okay, so you guys have been there over 30 years, right? And, of course, there it's changed a little, the landscape. There was a dairy farm, et cetera, et cetera. However, in March of 2020, as we all know, the world shut down in one way, shape, or form. And then just a few months later, after 30 years, you guys have, 1 month apart, these, for lack of a better term, I suppose we're kind of leaning towards Bigfoot, right? Who knows for sure? But I just find the timing to be at least something we should note. And it is strange after that long that they have this area that, you know, as you say, during the day, there's, you know, five or so people, public, and then plus whoever is maintaining that area coming in and out, and it's quite busy. And then all of a sudden, bam, they're like, wait, what's going on here? There's nobody coming out here anymore, like party time. So I'm just wondering if there is a tie-in there.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Could be.
Boy, I never even put that together with the pandemic and people just shutting down. Although when we went into that, we did do a hike in the regional park that's real close to us. We did notice that there were a lot of people over there just because we were still in the thick of the pandemic and people wanting to get outdoors and, not be stuck inside anymore. But I never even thought about that perspective. That's possibly...
Yeah, just a theory. And as you said, I mean, just like I know certain sports like golf and things like that blew up during COVID, right? Because being outdoors and away from other people in some way, shape, or form was the only thing that everyone could do. So, yeah, but maybe that had a little bit of an effect on it, or maybe it's just happenstance, but that kind of stood out to me. Has there been any rumors from... neighbors? I mean, this is not an easy thing to bring up to anybody, so this is not a surprise if this is, of course, we haven't talked to our neighbors or know our neighbors wouldn't tell us if they saw something like this, but has there been anything like that?
We did tell one neighbor down the street, and he said, well, I think you saw a Bigfoot, but if he experienced anything, he wasn't about to share it with us. And so we keep the conversations with our neighbor just on a normal daily level, you know, level of, hi, how's it going? You know, what are you planting this year? That kind of stuff. How are the chickens? How are the turkeys? So forth and so on. I guess maybe on our neighbors, we don't feel real close to them that we could open up to, other than our one really good friend that we spoke to her about this issue because we knew we wouldn't be criticized on it. But on our other neighbors, I feel like they would kind of scoff at us and just say, nah, you're high or whatever, kind of thing. And so I don't know. And like I said, we only have one neighbor that's pretty close in our vicinity to the east. And we've never mentioned anything to him. And just the one down the street that we told the story to, but he didn't really offer up anything that we didn't know, or nothing was really said about it.
We don't have many neighbors.
And we don't have many neighbors.
Which is why how we like.
That sounds like heaven to me. I would be in that situation in a heartbeat. Plus, you guys have the farm and all that. I just think that's wonderful, by the way. But it is pretty cool, though, that the neighbor immediately goes, oh, well, you must just, it's Bigfoot. That's pretty cool. I mean, I know Bigfoot is quite a well-known character up in Washington State, but still, that you're probably like, well, yes. Yeah, maybe it is. Right. What about friends and family when you're talking to them about this?
Well, my parents, when it happened, like I said, I wrote down everything. I documented everything and took pictures. And my parents found it very interesting. They enjoyed the story. But when I told my two other sisters, they one kind of just dismissed me, and the other one says, oh, it's homeless. You're seeing the homeless people. And we don't really have, not that we're aware of, a homeless issue going on across the street, making camps in there. We don't see it. And we're back in the woods, you know, with our dog. We don't see it, but it is a possibility.
There'd be evidence. No, we don't see that.
We don't see garbage. We don't see tents.
Existing campgrounds, no.
No. And so, like I said, you don't say too much. You only open up to the people that you can trust and know and won't be ridiculed. And pretty soon you just stop telling them anything because you don't get the support that you think you should. And it's also kind of like, if they didn't experience it, then it must not have happened.
Right.
That kind of mentality.
If I could interject, if there was a conversation about odd things occurring or something like that, I wouldn't hesitate telling my story. I could say some expletives here. I don't care what people think. What I saw. And what I felt, I felt. And that's just the way it is. If they don't like it, that's their tough stuff.
Amen to that. And plus, Clark, you don't strike me as the kind of person that easily gets, you get the willies and, you know, you're blasting your shotgun into the ground. I don't see you doing that, you know, every few nights just because you get spooked or you just feel like it.
Especially when your wife's sleeping.
yeah. Good. Yeah. Good way to get in trouble, right, Clark?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, yeah. Let's see. You said that there was possibly some other things going on.
So one thing that, again, this happened to Clark, but for a while there, Clark and I wanted to do some dog walks at nighttime, and this was before the entity. We were coming home from an event. We had a group with us. I don't believe we had our flashlights with us. And we were up in the unimproved park, the conservation part of the park. And we were back in the woods on the trail. And this, I have to turn the story over to Clark.
Okay, and I'll try not to give any more information out as far as what I should, as far as telling us where we live. But this night we were coming back from a place that had like a little bit of an event, and we were able to go through woods to get to our place, and we knew it would be dark, so we had brought headlamps with us. I remember roughly about five people, Mary and myself. I took point. I was in front. Mary was probably holding up the rear, and we had a daughter, maybe a friend, another girlfriend kind of in between us and stuff like that, staying close together because not everybody had lights. I am going down the path. Again, this is in the woods, looking left, looking right. Certain animals will have different colored eyes when you shine them into the eyes. And I looked to my left, that's to the east, and I see two red eyes, and they were distinctly red. And that was like, oh, what's watching us? And then I noticed, as far as where these eyes were, it wasn't the low down. It's not a coyote. It wasn't small. And it wasn't like something as tall as I was, I didn't think. I didn't know what this was. But there are these two red eyes. Everybody was pretty much huddled together anyway because of, like I said, we only had a couple lights. I sent Mary in front. She continued to walk down the path heading home, and I took it back, and I was walking backwards.
He was kind of
watching where I was going because there was something there. I don't know what it was. There was no sound or anything like that. Didn't know what else to call that one. But again, I was.
And I think you said, I think we stayed out of the woods at nighttime for a while.
For a while. Yeah, yeah, we didn't go back.
It scared you quite a bit. I never saw it.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, okay, we'll stay out of the woods for a while.
And like Mary said, I like to joke around a lot, but again, no joke here. I was not feeling good about this. Whether I had grabbed a stick just in case, regardless, I was in back saying, okay, you know, has to go through me.
Can I talk to you about another one?
Yeah. Before you go there, Mary, I'm sorry. Can I just ask Clark a couple questions about that?
Sure.
So how it's hard to judge this. Two different distances. How far away were you from this set of eyes? And then did they seem to be really far apart for most animals that maybe would, I don't know how to even word that. If there was another red flag that came up with how far apart the eyes were.
Right. I know what you were saying. Yeah, it looked like they were farther than what a small kind of animal would be. So I thought they were a little farther apart, a little higher than I would expect. And I felt probably, again, this is a rough guesstimate because when we went by a day or two after we went to the area where I witnessed it, I went back to see if I could see anything and I couldn't. So I'm guesstimating it was probably about 50 feet, 50, maybe 70 feet, 50 to 60 feet, something right in there. So not anything that could just leap on me right away. But nothing that this headlamp, they're not the brightest. It's just great for walking. But I wasn't able to see any outline. I just saw the red eyes.
Maybe it's good that you didn't see what the eyes were attached to. I don't know.
Well, I agree with you. I don't know because, again, when you don't know, then you've got your imagination going full bore. Is this, you know, a Dracula or what? You know, I don't believe in that stuff, but you know, what could it be? You got all these creatures coming through your mind and you're trying to be logical. Is it a bear? Is it a cougar? Those thoughts crossed my mind. They're not unheard of around here, but again, I think what sticks in my mind for that are the red of the eyes and the height of the where the eyes were.
Now, I don't know another way to say this without making it, I'm not trying to attach automatically something as weird as possible to this, but considering the fact that, you know, and I don't know exactly what headlamp you guys had or how strong they are, but I know exactly what you're saying. They're not always the brightest bulbs out there. So if at that distance, for lack of a better term, you would say that these eyes were essentially glowing from within?
Glowing from within. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, when you shine a light on an eyeball, it's pretty much the retina, isn't it? It's the eyeball itself that actually absorbs that light and broadcasts it. So, yeah, I was saying probably something from within, I would have to say. I don't think, although, you know, when you just see two red glowing things that were eyes, I mean, they were eyes. You've got not only the color last night, taking care of the chickens. I was panning the ground, and I saw these eyes looking at me, and I crawl up to it or walk up to it, and it's a possum kind of caught in the fence. I knew that that would be that or a raccoon, so I wasn't worried about that. But you could see the glowing sort of thing, and they don't blink. They're just these two colors that are looking at you. I've seen yellows, maybe some other colors, but I don't ever recall seeing a red. And this was
I just remember him saying, let's go, you know,
pushing us. It's time to go. Nothing to see here.
And Mary, for you, because, and as you say, this was before all the other activity was going on, were you kind of like, oh, Clark's really, something's really out there, right? That was not a normal thing.
Yeah, because his reaction to it and him not wanting to go back into the woods at nighttime for a very long time, for several years, it took a while for me to really understand that maybe he did see something that was something other than an animal, because he was really bothered by it for quite some time. And his unwillingness to go for a night walk into the woods, if I had seen it, I would have just said, oh yeah, no problem. But it kind of left me like perplexed for a bit, like, oh, are you sure you don't want to go? But he was just adamant. He didn't want to go back into the woods for several years, you know, and we still don't really go back in there. I think it kind of has scarred us in some way at night. Yeah. At nighttime. So we just are not in the habit of going out at nighttime and into the woods because of that one issue.
Well, and let me pay you a compliment before I let you go on there, Mary. Sorry for interrupting you. But Clark, you said that you went back out the next day to look in that very area to see distance and see if there was anything left behind from whatever the heck that was. So a compliment to you on that one.
Yeah, I just always am disappointed that I'm expecting to find some evidence to help me ascertain as to what it might be or to set my mind at ease. When I don't find anything, it's like, oh man, this is great. Okay, we're just going to file it as an unknown. Something was looking at us and hopefully I'll see it again.
But for it to alter an activity that you guys like to do, that's a bummer. I mean, I'm not that I'm saying I don't disagree with your choice, right? Not going out at night. And since Mary has heard my show before, she's heard a lot of people say that. They just have that primal instinct that this is not a good thing and we are in an area we should not be. And at least at night, we're done with this.
Exactly. The time frame. Maybe we should just rethink our time frame when we go in.
And I don't need to go looking for trouble. I mean,
right.
You know. I'll go out of my way and avoid that if there's any possibility of kind of an issue. And that's kind of how we've.
And like I said, we don't go looking for this stuff.
Yeah.
Have your dogs ever acted strangely or any of the other animals on your property?
Well, yes. Our dog will start barking. There was one time you were out again late at night, but you were over at the neighbors on the east side and you and the dog were walking back and Honey started, our dog's name's Honey, she just started barking at something in the field, but we just assume it's an animal. It could be a deer.
A deer, coyote. Yeah. Nothing visible at that time.
The night of the entity.
Yeah, Honey was probably inside. Yeah,
she was inside. Not with me.
She was in the house. And, you know, she's an interesting dog. We love her, but I wish she would bark more. When coyotes sound, she doesn't bark. When people come by the house, she doesn't really bark. She's a very quiet dog. And when we heard that initial story, that whatever howl it was, she was not
responding.
Yeah, she wasn't. We're different.
Yeah. It was,
I mean, I guess that's good in a way because we've heard of dogs, they'll, you know, run for cover under the bed or urinate themselves or whatever. It's like they just instinctively know that there's just something so alpha outside that they are going to make themselves as small as possible. But I could see where you're like, hey, you could be a little bit more of a dog sometimes, but that's okay.
She's certainly not alpha. She is not alpha.
Well, Mary, I'm sorry I interrupted you earlier. Where were you going to go?
So there's what I call them, these one-off stories that you're asking about. And one of them, Clark, I asked him about it the other day, if he remembered this, but he doesn't remember this. But I clearly remember this. And we were driving home from Christmas Eve family event, and we were coming to the corner where the road on the west side goes north and south, that you turn right onto our street that runs east and west. And as we were making the turn, Clark was driving, but I was sitting right behind Clark. One of my daughters was up in the front seat, and he kept looking up in the sky, and he goes, "I think that's a UFO." And so I started looking out, and I'm not seeing anything whatsoever. And we pull into our driveway, but by that time we got into the driveway and got out of the car and looked, we couldn't see anything. And I still think you don't remember that incident, correct?
That incident didn't really strike a bell with me as far as like, oh man, that was blood curdling and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't really have anything more to say than that one.
This next one was one that I told Clark about, but I think he dismissed me. And this was a car that was parked heading eastbound, but on the south side of our street. And it was on the open field that was next to us. And the car was halfway in the field and halfway up on the road. And there was nobody in the car. And it was closer to the road that runs north and south. And so right there for us, that's a red flag. We don't see anybody in the car. And why is that car there? And so we thought, okay, is it car problems? Where are the people? And I think, Clark, you walked down to the car just to see if you could find anybody around, but you couldn't find anybody. And it was getting dusk, and it was getting started, you know, it was starting to get darker and darker. And we were just kind of waiting to see if we could find somebody. You know, is there somebody staking the house?
Is it an abandoned car,
a stolen car? You know, so finally, Clark calls 311, and it's getting pretty dark out. But I go into my bedroom, and I can see out of my drapes what's going on. And so I'm just watching the car, just seeing if I can see anybody. Nobody's around me. And Clark's outside, probably just looking at the car too. And he did call 311. And again, it's getting dark out. And I see these three bodies come out from the park and cross the street to where the car is. And I thought, oh, good. I remember my feelings exactly. They're going to get in the car. They're going to open the door. I'll see the dome light come on, and then I'll see that they had left. And I thought, okay, they're just people up in the park playing around. You know, it's open space. It's public land. What do you say? And so I stood there, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I watched and watched. No door was open. No dome lights came on. So I moved to a different part of the house, and I just sat there and I waited and I waited. Nothing. So finally, a sheriff officer shows up. He looks into the vehicle, and Clark, you meet up with the sheriff officer. They look into the vehicle and they see a whole bunch of Bibles in the vehicle. And it turns out that I believe they were Jehovah Witnesses making a house call to a neighbor that was just right around the corner from us. But I swear, Shannon, I saw three bodies come out of the park and go over to the car. Yes, it was dark, but I kept thinking, oh, you know, case solved. You know, here come the people.
Yeah, and then nothing came of that. That is very strange.
Nothing.
I'm definitely one of those people that I keep an eye on my street, and I have a few neighbors around me that are the same way, and we'll text each other. And so I'm definitely the looky-loo the same way. You got to watch out for people, you know?
And I don't know too many people, whether they're Jehovah's Witnesses, whether they are, you know, Mormons on their pilgrimage, what have you. They generally don't do it at night.
Yes.
And at this point, the car is there, and it was night. And so we just thought that was awfully odd because, as Mary said, this one street light to the west is, boy, marginally on. A lot of times it's not. So it could be just jet black around. We don't have any sidewalks. It's rural road. When cars do come, you know, you can just barely get two cars along. There's no sidewalks. So it's just not a place where you'd want to walk, number one, at night. And number two, I wouldn't want to be knocking on somebody's door asking if they're a believer when it's dark out. I just don't know if that's the best time to do that.
Right, and if for some reason they were going into the woods to read scripture, the Bibles were actually found in the car when the cops finally came. I mean, maybe you didn't see them throw them in the car when they got to the car. I don't know, but that whole thing is very odd.
Yes. It was. Yeah. And I have just one more that happened fairly recently. And thankfully, this didn't happen to us. It happened to my sister-in-law, Clark's sister. And we were getting ready to go to an activity. We had her older daughter come over. She was going to spend the night. And the sister-in-law was coming over to spend the night because everybody had to get up early to go to this activity. And my sister-in-law drives a little minivan, conversion van that she turned into a sleeper car for camping. And so we told her to go park her vehicle on the west side of the property because there's no lights over there. It's private. It's dark. You'll sleep pretty well. And she has her dog with her. And so the next morning, everybody's piling into our vehicle because I'm taking them up to this event. And we're asking everybody, how did everybody sleep? And my sister-in-law says, oh, fine, until Stella, the name of the dog, started barking crazily in the vehicle. And she picked up on something. And I said, oh, it must have been a deer because deer come onto our property. And then she goes, no, I think it was something more menacing than that. And she says, I caught a little glimpse of it and it was black. And we just kind of let the conversation go. We didn't go any further than that. And she goes, I don't know, maybe it was Bigfoot. Who knows?
I love that his name just gets thrown around so easily up there. He's very popular. Whether you believe it or not, he's a popular guy. I mean, Clark, with the sightings that you've had, are you swayed a bit more to the Bigfoot may be real camp?
Whether it's Bigfoot or something else, because there are also these stories of shadow creatures. Do I believe in a shadow creature? I can't say I do. However, I don't have any other explanation as to what I saw. So it's something not normal. It's something out of my comfort zone, my knowledge of what it is. Could it be Bigfoot? Again, I would have to say that, you know, with sure there are people who have provided recordings and stuff like that. There's that one really grainy sort of film. You'd think there'd be just more evidence the way this world is getting smaller and smaller. Yeah, I don't know. I still want to cling to the belief that there's a logical explanation, but to this day, I can't come up with one.
Are you curious enough to where maybe, no, not to where you'd be in mortal danger, but close enough daytime, close enough to where you knew that's what you were looking at? Would you want to have that sighting?
I think I would, because it would answer some questions that I have had ever since these episodes.
I'm not sure I would.
I think I'm inquisitive. I would like to have answers to things sometimes, but I also like to rely on all my senses. And, you know, when it's dark, when it's out at night, I'm feeling I'm a bit disadvantaged. I have no problem going through woods or anything like that during from dawn to dusk. You know, at night, you're always kind of wondering what's around the bend. What are you coming up with? You can't see it. You might be able to hear things. You might be able to smell some things.
But your mind would automatically think that, oh, it's going to be a bear. It's going to be a deer. Yeah. It's going to be some animal that we know, that we recognize.
Yeah. So am I more of a believer? Ultimately, yeah. I mean, until somebody can tell me definitely they don't exist or anything like that, I have to assume there's a chance, but I would like to see more evidence.
But for you,
something concrete.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that, because I do think that there's a possibility they're out there, but until I see one with my own two eyes, you know, during the day, or honestly, if you see one at night and you can confirm it's a Bigfoot, you're probably too close. So I'm going to go with the daytime sighting, but I'm in the same boat as you. I feel that need to know, even after the stories that I've heard. But for you, Mary, you're on the side of, I'm probably good on seeing one.
I like my safe space.
Yeah. Right, you like to go out in the morning and take care of the chickens and do what you need to do on the farm without looking over your shoulder every 2 seconds, right?
Right. Although I've kind of changed, ever since what Clark went through, I have changed my habits in the sense that I don't go out in the dark in the morning anymore. I wait until it's light. And so basically during the summertime when it gets light early, I will go out. But when in fall, winter, I won't go out anymore because what happened to him, like I said, you know, with going through the woods and he sees the red eyes, that changed our habit completely. With what happened to him with the entity, that changed my behavior of going out in the dark, because I don't want to be caught out there alone and experience something. I'd rather be, you know, in the light.
All right. So last thing, and I promise I'll let you guys go. Thank you for bearing with my line of questioning, especially you, Clark, because you're not familiar with me. So thank you so much. But I will get yelled at if I don't, from the listeners, if I don't at least bring this up, because you guys yourself keep referring to this or these things as entities. So as far as we've talked about Bigfoot, we've brought up shadow people, possibly. What about Dogman? Mary, have you... Because you're a little bit more familiar because you listen to weirdo shows like mine. But has that thought ever crossed your mind just because of the fact that you've got just a howl, right? Like that could be attributed to either one of those things, assuming we're just going to assume they're real just for argument's sake. And also, it's a little, you do grow them big there in Washington State, the Bigfoot, I mean. If we're talking about Bigfoot, they grow a little bigger. Now, I'm not saying they're all big. They have to start small sometime. However, 5 to 7 feet tall, you know, it couldn't be defined as this, you know, 4 foot across being, creature. So I don't know. I mean, part of my mind goes, well, maybe it was a dog man, which, oh my God, that's not definitely not good to have out there. But I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
How Clark described the entity, I think it might be more in the dogman category versus Bigfoot, just because of the size, the chest size, the size of the form that was outlined to him. That's my thought process. But I always revert back to Bigfoot, just because we live in Washington State, we're familiar with that creature versus dogman. But I didn't see it. And what Clark experienced across the street might also be more in the category of dogman versus Bigfoot.
Right. And the fact that, and not that this has never happened with Bigfoot, because it has, but Clark having that visceral reaction on the first encounter, got to get out of here. He discharged his weapon. We've heard that a lot with dogman encounters, right? They just ooze this air of, I'm going to use the word alpha again, and they really get that primal instinct kicked in pretty well. And again, Bigfoot can do that too. We've heard that they got infrasound that supposedly they can use and all that. But just, yeah, the build of this creature kind of makes me wonder if we're even talking about a Bigfoot. But yeah, anyway, that was just another thought that I had after we've been talking here.
Yeah, and you don't remember smelling anything. No, not at all. It was just visual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've grilled you enough, so I really appreciate it, both of you. Thank you so much for being willing to come on and share.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you.
trained to read your newspaper and so on. You are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.